afternoon. Welcome to everyone who has joined us through live stream or through the phone-in service. We are thankful that we can gather together once more on a beautiful Sunday afternoon like this to worship our God. This afternoon, we welcome Reverend Swaving from the Smithville Canadian Reformed to our pulpit. We are very thankful that he can be with us today, and our prayers that the Lord will be with him as Reverend Swaving brings his word, and that we will be blessed through the proclamation of that word and so strengthened as we look forward to another week to serve him. Before we begin our service, we will sing one song from the Psalter hymnal, number 247, all three verses. And after we sing, we will each take a moment to pray quietly and ask the Lord's blessing for our time together.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and a warm welcome to all guests worshiping with us. Our call to worship this afternoon is taken from Psalm 134. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. Let's ask God for a blessing this afternoon. Dear Lord, our God, you are holy and mighty and sovereign, and we draw near to your throne of grace this afternoon hour to thank you that you allow us to worship you, that you allow us to call upon your holy name. We ask you to be with us this afternoon, that you may bless us in our worship. May you bless us as we sing praises to your holy name. May you bless us as we read your holy word. For Lord, we confess before you that in and of ourselves we would turn away from serving you. We would have no desire to call on you. But by your Spirit, you give to us a new nature that earnestly desires to serve you, to walk before you, that we may be called blessed. Help us to recognize the blessings that we have as your dear children, that we may rejoice and be glad together, even though we are not here together physically. These things we pray in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our opening hymn this afternoon is Psalter number 112. We'll sing stanzas 1, 2, and 3. This afternoon, though we cannot gather together physically, yet we can gather before the throne of grace, and we can call upon our Lord God to praise his name and to draw comfort in knowing who he is and what he does for us. And in connection with that, we have opportunity as brothers and sisters to read together a most beautiful psalm, a psalm of praise, a psalm that was written by David to speak of the excellencies of our Lord God. So let's read together Psalm 8. To the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength, because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, How excellent is your name in all the earth. This Lord, who is our Lord, whose name is most excellent, is a God that we can draw near to seek his help and support in the days of our lives here on earth. So let's take opportunity now to call on God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God, your name is excellent. Your name is holy. Your name is to be honored and glorified. And we thank you for this reality. We thank you that you have set your name to be exalted, and that for your name's sake, you do not forsake us, your people. We confess before you that with our limited knowledge, our narrow scope, our inability to see all things and to understand all things can sometimes cause us to lose sight of this beautiful truth. And so this afternoon, we call on you as our Lord, as our God, to ask of you strength for the days and the weeks to come, for this week in particular. May you surround us with your love and your care. For we confess before you that the lives that we've been living these past few weeks, this past few months even, have been difficult, have been unusual, have been strange. And Lord, we long so much to gather together to worship you, to be built up together as brothers and sisters. Not that we take the opportunity we have to worship together via a phone-in, but that it is a different opportunity. And so we confess before you that in our weakness we need strength. And when we consider the lives that we live versus the lives that other people live, the lives of sinners, the lives of people who live day by day in rebellion against you, we sometimes wonder, is the life of a Christian blessed? Is the life of a follower of Jesus a happy life, one that is fulfilled and blessed? Or can the ways of the world bring pleasure and satisfaction? Lord, you know the turmoil and the strife that has been sweeping over this globe the past calamity after calamity comes to this earth ever since the fall into sin. And we feel its sting in particular this past while. Our inability to physically gather together today, even as people physically gather together on streets to protest. Father, we confess before you our weakness, our struggle to thank you for what we have. Help us to see what we have in you, and help us to see what the world lacks in its turning away from you. Lord, we ask you to be with our government. We ask you to give to us the strength, the guidance, and the wisdom that is needed to submit to its God-given authority, that we may exercise our rights as citizens, adhering to the laws of the land, providing feedback in a Christian manner, and not in a manner that is unfitting that of a Christian. We ask you to give guidance to our leaders in making difficult decisions concerning our present circumstances. Help them to recognize how essential it is for people to receive spiritual care, to be built up spiritually, not only physically, not only mentally, not only socially, but that there is also a spiritual component to the lives of mankind. And be with our provincial leadership. Be with our federal leadership. Both Premier Ford and Prime Minister Trudeau, together with their cabinets, that they may guide our province and our country through these crises, the coronavirus pandemic, the financial situation, and the wave of protests sweeping across the globe following videos of police brutality. Through this all, O Lord God, we ask you to enlighten us, that we do not lose focus on you by having all of our attention focused on what is happening in this world, but that we can see through your word the comfort that you give to us, that we can see how richly you do bless us, even despite the present circumstances. Bless us through this word this afternoon. These things we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. And this afternoon we will be looking at the very first psalm that is in the book of Psalms. And in connection with that, I'd like to sing together with you from the Psalter hymnal, song number 237. This afternoon, brothers and sisters, let's read together from God's holy word, from this first psalm, Psalm 1. The word of our Lord. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's under very different circumstances that you have invited me back to your pulpit. And so I'd ask, how are you doing? How have you been holding up these past few months? And if you had to describe your life in a word, how would you do it? Is it fine? Is it okay? Manageable? Peaceful? Stressed? Blessed? Is the life that you live today a blessed life? A happy life? Everyone desires to be happy, to be fulfilled, to be blessed. Everyone wants to be described as a tree planted by water and not as chaff that blows away in the wind. But that doesn't always seem to be the case. It doesn't always seem to be what happens. For every moment of happiness, it seems as though there's another moment of grief, pain, sorrow. Here at the start of the book of Psalms, we find a contrast between two different ways. The way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. And the psalm describes the righteous man as blessed like a well-watered tree, and the wicked as those who will perish, blown away like chaff. The two ways. Is the life that you live today an abundant life in the way of the righteous? Is that what life in social isolation is? Or does it feel as though it is here today, gone tomorrow? This psalm can almost seem naive, immature in how sharply it paints this contrast. After all, which Christian can say that when they live righteously, they're prospering in comparison to with the people all living around them in sin? Yet the claim, when the word of God is made, blessed is the man. And the contrast is described. He is like a tree, but the wicked are like chaff blown away. The Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, inspired this psalm to be written to paint a picture of a way of life in God and life apart from him. Two ways. So therefore, beloved, this afternoon, let us look at two ways to live as presented in this first psalm under the following theme and points. And two ways to live. We'll consider first the way of the righteous, second the way of the wicked, third the way for today. Two ways to live. So the first word in the book of Psalms is blessed. It's a key word that's found throughout the Psalms. Here in the first psalm, it's placed at the very beginning, set in opposition to the last word. of the psalm, to perish. And Psalm 1 is not the only psalm to do this. Psalm 112, which we sang together, does the same thing. After the opening call, praise the Lord, the first word is blessed, and the last word is perish. And there are a few things that we can draw from these two words, brothers and sisters. And they also form the theme for this psalm, and by extension, this whole set of psalms. Not only are they placed in opposition to each other in their position in the psalm, but blessed also begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the form of the verb, they shall perish, here at the end, uses the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So the contrast spelled out explicitly in this psalm is also implicit in the word use and structure of this psalm. And it's this contrast that helps us better understand what exactly it is to be blessed. The psalmist sings, blessed is the man. To be blessed is to be happy, to be filled with joy. And who does not want to be happy? Who does not want to be filled with delight? What does this psalm have to say about being blessed, about being happy? It's in opposition to the way that perishes, the way that comes to nothing. If the way of the wicked will perish, will come to nothing, then the opposite of that is to amount to something, to gain, to be fulfilled. We might be reminded of the book of Ecclesiastes, how the author pursues multiple avenues of fulfillment, but laments again and again how empty, how meaningless, how vain everything is. How void everything apart from God ends up being. We can read there in Ecclesiastes, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Which is also the perspective that we find here in this first psalm. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. The psalm also concludes its remarks in the contrast of our text. The Lord knows the ways of the righteous. The man who delights in God's law, who loves it, who meditates on it, who follows it, is one who fulfills its duties and has his accomplishment. He is carrying out the abundant life that God has created him to do. After all, that is how our God has created us. He created man good and in his image. That means that he created mankind in true righteousness and holiness with a purpose. Mankind was to rightly know God, his creator, to heartily love him, and to live with him in eternal blessedness. Blessedness, happy and content, fulfilled. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. The way of the righteous is a way that has a well-being in every area of life. Something that mankind had before he fell into sin. Look at how the psalmist describes the righteous man here in verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. We witness in creation all around us, this spring and summer, the earth waking up, giving bloom, the crops beginning to grow. And our eyes can look outside and can see how creation is bringing praise to our God. Beloved of Christ, we can see the green grass growing. We can smell the flowers blooming. We can hear the birds chirping in the trees. This is new life. We can see how good God's world is. Even under its burden of sin. Even though it groans from the impact of sin, there's still so much beauty that points to the fount of life, our Lord God. And so the psalmist rightly uses the analogy of a tree. A beautiful analogy for a few reasons. First, trees are full of life. One can walk through forests and gain a sense of awe and wonder at the majesty of life all around them, found in the birds and the plants, the trees, the wildlife. The trees, they endure from year to year, even from generation to generation, enduring, filled with life themselves, with spring blooms and summer leaves and abundant fruit in the harvest season. This analogy reminds us that the way of the righteous is one filled with life. Blessed are those who love God and follow his ways, having life that others do not. Trees are also enduring and steadfast. The psalmist does not describe a tree struggling to survive in poor locations, but a tree that is flourishing where it is firmly planted. It's grounded with roots that run deep, that have constant access to water and nutrients, that will not be blown over like reeds or mown down like grass. Firmly planted. Those who are blessed have a steadfastness in their life that nobody else has. Being firmly planted is not possible without access to nutrients, to good soil, to water. Trees can be aggressive in how their roots search out water. Their roots spread widely and actively search out water. And sometimes even cause problems when they clog up drains or tile systems, septic systems, and sewer systems. But because of their access to water, trees grow firm, hard, and strong. A tree with access to abundant water grows and grows and flourishes. It's a beautiful piece of God's creation. And the blessed man is one who has access to abundant resources that provides life. And because it is beautiful and big and strong, a firmly planted, well-watered tree will produce fruit, abundant fruit, a harvest that overflows. They are productive, filled with abundance. And more specifically, it has its fruit in its harvest season. You don't go out today to a tree that is budding and bemoan the fact that you cannot enjoy its fruit yet. You wait until it has reached its due time before you harvest the fruit. In the same way, the life of a blessed man is one that produces fruit in righteousness in time as he grows before the Lord, in love and peace and joy. In summary, he prospers in all he does. This analogy, brothers and sisters, is a refreshing analogy that points out who the righteous is, how blessed he is. He's blessed because he is fulfilled. He has life. He has abundant life that he enjoys as the child of God who created his life and sustains him in it. And it's in opposition to the way of the wicked, which will perish. So the last word of this psalm is perish. It's in opposition to the first word, blessed. And if the life of the righteous is to have abundant life, to have a fulfilled life, and the way of the wicked is to perish, to amount to nothing. The psalmist describes the wicked in stark contrast to the blessed man who delights in the law of God. While the righteous man is like a tree standing firm, the wicked are like chaff blown away. Chaff which is good for nothing. Chaff that's the waste product from the harvest of grain. When the grain is harvested, it is brought to the threshing floor. And there the grain is tossed into the air. And while the crop will fall back down to the ground, the chaff, light, flimsy, nothingness, blown away by the wind. Chaff is light and useless. It's to be disposed of. And the wicked that are described in this psalm are those without substance, those that don't have any weight. By describing the wicked as chaff, the psalm is saying that the wicked will not amount to anything at all. In fact, they'll be blown away and forgotten. Their way will perish. And with this brief comparison, beloved, we're painted a vivid picture of the wicked, a picture of nothingness. And because they come to nothing, the wicked cannot have a place in the midst of the righteous. They hold no weight, they hold no influence, and so they have no place and are not recognized. Ultimately, that way is meaningless, a vanity, a chasing after the wind. This contrast also means there's nothing in common between the righteous and the wicked. While the righteous has a fulfilled life, the wicked has an empty one. And without a common ground, they are out of place, they have no purpose in the gatherings of the righteous. They have no right to be in the places of judgment, the places of decision making. And this emptiness, this void, this coming to nothing is also part of the reason why the blessed man does not walk in their counsel. After all, if he walked in their ways, he would not have a fulfilled life. He would not have a life in the law of God, the Lord and giver of life. If he stood in the way of sinners, in the very way that perishes, that comes to nothing, he would not be blessed and happy. The empty way has no substance in itself, and resorting to scoffing as a way of substance. If a man has fulfillment, he will not scoff. Now, the reason the psalmist can describe the wicked in this way is not because of the material of this present life. After all, anyone can look at the lifestyle of the wealthiest of the world and see that they do not follow or reflect God's holy law. Likewise, those who delight in God's law frequently come into trials and shortcomings, and many wicked people get rich in their greedy schemes and their political maneuvering. But the wicked paths are not blessed by God and have no purpose in their life. They cannot be truly happy and fulfilled. The American Constitution affirms life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But for all their pursuit, apart from God, no one is able to find it. It becomes a chasing after nothing. And the American dream becomes a nightmare when it is not rested upon Christian foundations. For all the wealth and earthly accomplishments one can aspire to, at the end of their days, they can take nothing into the grave. There's nothing beyond today for those who do not believe in God. Brothers and sisters, we can see and witness this in the way that the world reacts to death. The fear of death and harm causes our Western societies to hide death. The entire concept of personhood before birth is outright dismissed rather than discussed, so that the life of here and now is not questioned. Funerals become celebrations of life. Medical treatments and surgeries stave off death and calamity, everything to be handled by medical professionals. And when something rises up that cannot be contained, present circumstances in this pandemic is unveiling the world's perspective on life and death. This unhealthy fear of death causes entire societies to shut down and to refuse to live today for fear of dying tomorrow. Distrust grows as anyone can be the bearer of a plague that will end your only life now. Now, I do not want to be seen as criticizing any particular decisions made, nor am I saying that Christians need to be suicidal and recklessly endanger themselves, but I am highlighting that our society's aversion to death as a great unknown is being displayed today. After all, if life is but a flitting moment here today, gone tomorrow, would you not be deathly afraid of losing it? Would you not do everything in your power to prolong your days, your weeks, your months, your years? to seize the day and to make the most of this beautifully brief but ultimately meaningless breath we call life, to blaze as hot a fire as possible until the last of your wood is consumed and the fire is snuffed out. This is the way of the wicked, beloved of Christ. This is the way of life outside of God, the one who created life. And it's a life that's ultimately meaningless. For it is a life that does not recognize its creator. And that places it in opposition to the meaningful life of the one who delights in God, who finds his way in his law. But does this not seem too cut and dry? Is the way of the righteous truly blessed? And does the way of the wicked only lead to meaninglessness? I ask the question again, when you consider your own life, do you consider yourself blessed, happy, content, and fulfilled? When someone asks you how you are doing, can you genuinely say that you are leading a blessed life? What is the way for today? And the first word of the psalm, again, blessed, is that your life today, June 7th? Or do you feel more in line with the last word of the psalm? 3 months of social isolation now. How are your relationships with those that you cannot see and interact with? How are your relationships with those that you are perhaps now seeing and interacting with too much? College, university students, how does it feel to have completed another term? Does it feel a proper accomplishment? How about work? For some, there is no longer work to be done. For others, work is being done in a diminished way. And for still others, demand for work has gone up along with increased risk. Do any of these positions feel blessed, fulfilled? Or is there a feeling of being stretched thin? This psalm has presented us two ways to live. One way is a blessed way, the other way is a way that will end, that will perish, that will lead to nothing. Is this now a choice for us? Did you tune in to today's service for a how-to guide on your life? Don't walk in wicked ways, but instead follow God's law and all your problems will go away. Do this, do that. Don't do that. Don't do this. Problems solved. But that is not the message of God's word. It's not the message that we find in Psalm 1 either. A blessed life is one in the way that God has created it. How man is to know God, to love him, to live with him in blessedness, a life from before the fall, a life that is impossible for us to attain. A life that can only be restored by the Son of God, in whom life was created. Psalm 1 does not bring a message of what you must do in order to have yourself a fulfilling life. It's a psalm that speaks of the reality of fulfilled life in God and perished life away from him. It's a psalm that reminds us of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. It's one that points to the fulfillment of the law, a psalm that testifies to the grace that we have in our Savior Christ in Jesus. Jesus contrasted himself with the one who brings nothing in John 10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly. The way of the wicked brings nothing, but Christ came to bring abundant and blessed life for his people. People like you and me. And what is more, he was willing and able to give up everything in his life so that we can have life. He was willing to perish so that we may be blessed. His sacrifice on the cross has brought fulfillment and meaning to our lives that nothing else can ever do. And the law of the Lord points to this blessed reality. And in Christ, it becomes a love, a delight for us. In our Savior, we have purpose restored. And so the life that we live today is no longer meaningless. For Christians, there is comfort in both life and in death, that we belong to our Savior, and that our purpose in praising and glorifying the Lord God of all creation, it's a beautiful and fulfilling one that brings perfect blessedness all of our days. This psalm reminds us that setbacks in this life are not cause for despair. This psalm highlights for us the strength and blessing we receive in God's holy word. When we turn away from the counsel of the world, when we stop fixating so much of our time and energy on the decisions that sinners are making, when we understand that the skeptics of this world are as empty as those they critique, and we find source and meaning in the depth of the riches of God's word and who they point to, we find delight. For all the uncertainty around us, for all the uncertainty of what's going to happen tomorrow, this week, this month, whether at work or at school, on the streets of the cities, the capitals, with the governments, one thing remains unchanging day and night. For this psalm has described a blessed man as a tree planted by streams of water. And where do we find water that brings us life? The way forward for us today is found in the word of our God. How it has pointed to a fulfilled and blessed life that rests in the one who has created us, the one who loves us, the one who gives life and abundance, the one who provides meaning to that life. Brothers and sisters, when your eyes are set only on the here and the now, when you look through the same lens as your unbelieving neighbor, when life today becomes the only important element, struggles can overwhelm. It's easy to worry, to lose sight of being blessed. But when your heart and your mind turn to the life-giving word and delights in the beauty of God's law, sees the righteousness that is yours in Christ, there is a view to blessing. There is perspective that can find rest and comfort. There is hope, there is confidence that a moment of weariness today pales in comparison with an eternity of blessed communion with your Lord and Savior. And so the way for today is found in our Savior, a way that starts each day in the same way that this psalm starts, by resting in the Savior, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The way that today starts, the way that tomorrow starts every day, including that final and eternal day. Blessed. Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord, our God, we thank you for pouring out your blessings upon us, that we truly can consider what we have in Christ Jesus, that we can recognize that we have a perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness in him, his one sacrifice for us, the most beautiful gift that is ours, poured out in abundance. That when you look upon us, you do not see sinners, you do not see empty, wicked lives to be blown away like chaff. But you see your dearly beloved children, those who are counted as righteous, those who are counted as holy, those who are counted as blessed. Equip us, therefore, by your Spirit, that we may recognize what we have in you, that we may recognize the beauty of walking humbly before you in the way of the righteous, a way that you reveal to us in your holy word. Give to us an earnest desire to pore over your word, to study it earnestly daily, day by day. Equip us to face the challenges of this life, that we do not despair, that we do not wonder at everything that is going on in the world around us, but that we may know that our future is secure, that our life today has meaning and purpose, that there is not a moment that is wasted or lost. Oh Lord, it is so easy for us to reflect upon days that we wish could have gone another way, upon moments that we wish we could have seized, better utilized. Yet we confess before you that the life that we live is one that you have foreseen, a life that you know, a life that is part of your plan that will culminate in our being presented without blemish before your throne by your Spirit on the day of visitation. Lord, may that final day of visitation, when Christ returns in the clouds of heaven, come quickly. And until that day does come, may you equip us. May you bless us in the way of the righteous. May you help us to share with our neighbors, with those who are despairing at all of the calamities and the disasters that are facing this world, that they may see the comfort we have in your holy gospel, that they may see the joy and the meaning and the delight that we have walking humbly before you. Bless us the rest of this day, that our worship may be pleasing to your name, that you may have strengthened us in your word. These things we pray in the name of Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, in whom we have life. Amen. Let's now rise together to sing a response using the very words of this psalm put to music here in the Trinity Psalter. We'll sing the second variant.
Bless the man.
Beloved of Christ, we have opportunity on this day of rest to give of the good gifts that our Lord God has given to us. This afternoon, the thank offerings are for the church and for the work of the Adoration Christian Center. Here at the close of this worship service, let us arise together to sing our closing doxology, Psalter number 403. Close this service by asking God for his blessing. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give to us peace. Amen.